Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, and we're just going to look at four verses of scripture this morning. And I want to say that we have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here. Every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have just gotten married. Some have been married for a long time. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Some wish they had kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, church, our Lord compels us to share Jesus Christ and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. As a 17-year-old teenage boy, Jesus came into my life at a youth camp, and I was never the same. I wasn't perfect. I made a ton of mistakes since that time. But the Lord started me on a trajectory in my own life that I can look back after all these years and say, where would I be without Jesus Christ? I want you today to join a secret society. Now, before you get up and leave, hear me out. You're saying, what is the preacher talking about today? I want you to know there's a club. Did you have a club growing up? You know, like guys got together, no girls allowed. I watched an Andy Griffith recently. I have to watch one a day just to keep me joyful. I watched an Andy Griffith episode, and Opie and the boys were having trouble with history, and Andy said, hey, let's form a history troop, a club. And he said, now the first thing I want y'all to do is memorize all these dates your teacher wants you to learn in history. And they said, oh man, we don't want to do that. He said, well, if you don't do something special about it, then everybody could join. And they said, oh yeah, that'll make it exclusive. And so they formed a history troop. I don't know if you were in as a kid, you formed a little club or a little secret thing. You said maybe no boys allowed, no girls allowed. Well, I want you to know that today there is a special group of people that have learned the secret, listen, the secret of contentment. Now, let me give you the background of the book of Philippians in this particular passage. Epaphroditus, now that's a mouthful. Epaphroditus was a man who came from Philippi in Macedonia. This is in the current Middle East area, and he came over to Rome. And he brought Paul a gift. And Paul wrote back to the church. That gift really blessed Paul. Paul was in a Roman prison. And so Paul wrote this letter that we're studying in the Bible. Folks, one of the things we do here is we study the scripture every week. Every time we gather, we study the scripture. We believe that the Bible is the word from God. It is the infallible word of God. The Bible says it is God-breathed. And so we study the scripture. And so we're studying this book of Philippians. And it was the letter that Paul sent back with Epaphroditus back to the people of Philippi, thanking them for the gift that he had received from them. Now, he realized when Epaphroditus brought the gift that there was some disunity in the church, there were some problems in the church, there were some disgruntled people. You don't know any people like that, do you? There were some disgruntled people. And so things were happening in that church that were robbing the people of their happiness and their joy. All right? So Paul gives us a prescription for joy. I will say this past Monday, we had a funeral service, a memorial, a celebration service for one of our members who went to heaven. The service for Ann Davis was this past Monday, and it was a service that we all knew we had a significant loss, and yet, can I say this? It was a joyful service, was it not? It was a service that had with it not only the sense of loss because we lost someone we love so much, but it also had a sense of joy. People were saved. People were encouraged. People were challenged. You know, book of Proverbs says that laughter is like a medicine. We need joy and we need encouragement in our lives. Someone said this, joy is the grease that helps us enjoy life. And so when we have joy in our life, we make it through the circumstances. So this whole book is about joy. That's why the theme of the entire book is joy for the journey. We're all on a journey living life. How do you have joy when you're on the journey? He talks about in this book joy in the church, joy in circumstances, joy in life, joy in death, unity as the key to joy, joy with Christ as our example, joy in obedience, joy in faithful friends, joy in saving grace, joy in the process of growth, joy for the future, joy in the midst of worry. That was last week. All of those are the titles of the different Bible studies that we've had together here on Sunday morning. Now, today is joy and contentment. What is contentment? Well, the definition means to be independent of external circumstances. Now, the Stoics of Paul's day taught that contentment was to be self-reliant. It's all about you. And yet Paul is going to teach us something. He's going to say the reason we can be self-reliant is because we have a supernatural strength within us. For us, it's Christ that gives us the strength. Now, can I tell you this? When you live by this type of contentment, you and Jesus Christ are a majority in every situation. When I was a teenage boy, they taught us, they said, look, when you put Jesus first in your life, you and Christ are a majority. Too often, we look around us at the way people respond to us, we look at our circumstances, and that makes us, we decide whether we're going to be happy or sad. You know, sometimes we place our contentment gauge based upon our skills. If we're performing in something, maybe in class, maybe on the athletic field, and we have the skills, then we're happy. But guess what? We're always going to meet someone with a little bit higher grade point average, someone with maybe a little bit better athlete. And if you're not careful, if you put your focus on skills, then you'll be disappointed. You won't be contented. Sometimes we put our trust in relationships, you know. Hey, if that girl likes me, boy, I'm happy. If she doesn't like me, then I'm sad. If that guy likes me, I'm happy. If he doesn't, then I'm sad. And so we base it sometimes on relationship. The word contentment for the scripture means contained. Warren Wiersbe says it this way. He says that the word for contentment means that you and Jesus are a majority in every situation. You are contained. You are content. Girls, let me tell you, you better find you a guy that's content. You better find you a guy that says, with Jesus Christ, following His will is all I need. I don't need affirmation from this person over here, this person over here. I don't need anybody telling me I'm going in the right direction. As long as I know God is behind me, then I'm content. Girls, you need a young man like that. You need someone who Him and Jesus Christ are a majority in every situation. Guys, you need a girl who is content. You need someone that is content in following Jesus Christ and Him alone. So, we are to be initiated into this special group of people who have discovered it. I'd like to read the passage of Scripture. So, you look in your copy of God's Word. I'm in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. And I'm just going to read four verses of Scripture. You follow along in your copy, and I'll read out loud from mine. This is Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And then this very, very key verse of Scripture that you probably have heard before, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are just two things I want you to jot down in your listening guide on the back of the bulletin today. The first one is this: contentment comes by experience. In verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. This is the natural word in the Greek language that he uses here for the word learned. It means to learn by experience. And so, therefore, by that word is the reason I've got that main handle, that main point on the message today. It means to learn by experience. It means I have arrived at this understanding. I want to encourage you to realize that Paul is saying, look, I've lived my whole life, and I'm coming down towards the end of it, and I want you to know something. The Lord has taught me that I can be content. Now, he says, I have learned. That's a strong way that he uses that. He's basically saying, I, for my part, whatever others may feel, have learned that I can be content. I often tell young people that, you know, you have two choices. You can either learn in life by experience of yourself, or you can learn by the experience of others. In the book of Romans, it says, whatever was written before was written for our learning. So that's one of the reasons that we get into the Scripture, folks, is because we can learn something without having to experience it. In other words, we don't have to go through heartache and disappointment all of our life and then come to the end of our life and say, oh yeah, by the way, I wish I had done that. I wish I had done that. No, we have the experience of others. The whole 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians is about learning from the past. And it says, those in the Old Testament were our examples of how to live. And so as we study those things, we realize that we can learn from the past. And so one of the ways that contentment comes, it comes by experience. He says in verse 10, your care has flourished again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's an offering talked about. Paul had received an offering from these Philippian believers. And there's a long time that goes by between that offering and the one that the people gave to him in Rome. And it must have been a long time since they had given. And yet Paul says, look, I have learned to be content. He says, I'm so glad that your love for me and that your giving has flourished again. I rejoice in the Lord, verse 10, greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. That means it's budded again. It's almost as if God reminded them that they could send an offering to Paul. Paul was the one that started their church. The idea of him using that phrase, flourished again, is the idea of a bud. It's something that God grows in the plant. And so, in a sense, you sense that God is working behind the scenes, and he uses people to do his work. Can I tell you this? You can learn by experience, because I tell you, the longer you live, the more you realize God is working behind the scenes. I've seen that in my own life. Difficult circumstances, difficult times that you face, and yet, have you come through that to the other side, you look back with hindsight and you see the hand of God at work behind the scenes. So Paul is saying one of the things that we need is contentment that comes by experience. Joseph is a great example of that in the Old Testament. Joseph was sold into slavery. Think about Joseph. You think about Jacob's son, Joseph. This young man whom his brothers were jealous of him and they sold him into slavery. He was eventually taken to Egypt as a slave, and he was in the house of Potiphar, who was the prime minister and the leader of Egypt. And so Joseph was, Potiphar's wife came after Joseph, really tried to seduce him. You can go back in the book of Genesis and read all about this. And so his wife tried to seduce him. Then he was put in prison. This was a young man of the people of God who was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was in prison. Well, while he was in prison, he met a cupbearer and a baker. They had dreams, and they said, "We don't understand what these dreams are about." And Joseph interpreted the dreams, and he interpreted them accurately. The cupbearer went back to work for the Pharaoh, and the cupbearer, Joseph told the cupbearer, "Don't forget me when you get out of prison and you're working in the palace." But the cupbearer forgot Joseph, and so for on and on and on, Joseph lived in that prison. But eventually, the king had a dream, and he called in all of his magicians and all those astrologers, and he couldn't figure out the dream. And the cupbearer said, "Hey, wait a minute! I remember a guy that could interpret dreams." And so he talked about Joseph, and they brought Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream, and he told them that there was going to be a famine in the land of Egypt, and there was going to be great harvest before the famine, and they better store up. Anyway, all of this amazing story about Joseph ends up becoming the second most powerful person in Egypt. His brothers came, the ones that had sold him into slavery. Boy, if there was ever anybody in the world that could be discontent all of his life. He had nothing really. It wasn't his fault. All those years in prison. All those years separated from his family. So his brothers came to Egypt, and Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. Here's what Joseph said about the whole thing. He said, "God did send me before you to preserve life." And Joseph said this, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." Somehow, there's a secret. And let me tell you something. If you get this, and can I tell you this? If I get this, I need this. You live life at another level. You literally can live life having gone through something Joseph went through, and at the end of it all, when you could, because you have the power to bring justice upon those that wronged you in that situation, you literally can say, "You know what? I see that God was working behind the scenes. God did send me before you to preserve life. But as for you, you thought it evil against me. But God meant it for good." So folks, part of learning contentment is to learn it from those that have lived life, and then to look back in your own life and to realize that even though you went through difficult circumstances, you can see that God was at work behind the scenes. Isn't it comforting to know that even though you go through difficulty, God is not surprised by that difficulty? God sees what you're going through in your difficulty. So contentment is learned not only by experience, but number two, contentment comes by God's power. Now, have you been initiated in the secret? The secret is talked about in verse 12, and I'll tell you why. I want you to look in verse 11. You see in verse 11? In my translation, it says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned." You see that word learned? All right, star that, circle that. Take out your lipstick, mascara, whatever. Mark it. Now, look at verse 12. "I know how to be abased." That word means to be humbled. Paul is saying, "I know how to be humbled. And I know how to abound." That word means to be overflowing. Right now, Paul is in prison. He said, everywhere and in all things I have learned. See that word, I have learned? Circle that. Get out your lips, get mascara, whatever. Mark it. Those are two different words. Okay. I guess I'm going to tell you. This is what I wanted to tell you. The word learned the first time is the reason that I made the first point in this message to say contentment comes by experience, because it means I learn by experience. The second word learned in verse 12 means that I have been initiated in the secret. The secret is that joy doesn't come from the outside. Joy comes from the inside. And then he quotes that verse of scripture that is so wonderful that we claim, that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Those are different circumstances. Maybe you've had, you could stand and give testimony today of times when you were just humbled. You could have times when circumstances were great. He even talks about it a different way. He says, both to be, at the end of verse 12, both to be full and to be hungry. So the first two, abased and abound, doesn't necessarily relate to food, but then he actually gives it related to food, and he says, I've been hungry and I've abounded, and I have suffered need. This is the statement in my study this week that has hit me more than any, and I'm going to tell you what the statement is, and it really hit me. Here it is. Circumstances are the arena of spiritual growth. Circumstances are the arena of spiritual growth. All of us encounter different circumstances. Paul happened to be in prison. These Philippian believers were not. But Paul was in prison, and yet he's writing them about joy. How does that happen? He says, well, I have learned in verse 12. That's the second word for learn, and it means I've been initiated into the secret. And the secret is this, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Can I tell you this? You remember the LSU game in 2008? Now, I say that, and I'm thinking I can't remember much about it. But I know there are some people that could quote some stuff about it, because you're that much of a fan. The Florida LSU game 2008 was the very first day that Tim Tebow put a message on his eye black. And on that eye black, that very first day, he put Philippians 4:13. And they say that in a subsequent game, maybe I think the national championship, one of those years, that when that verse of scripture was the number one Googled thing on the whole worldwide internet. They said that his very last game was the Sugar Bowl, I believe. And the very last one, he put Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He was lifting up the gospel message that in Christ we can do that. You know, contentment is striking. We're uncomfortable when we're around contented people. I'll never forget the first time I went to Mexico. I went on a mission trip. I took a bunch of young people to Mexico. And I remember meeting the believers there in Mexico that really did not have any material things. And we experienced this in Cuba, our Cuba team, a couple weeks ago. We experienced that as well. But these believers that I was with in Mexico, they did not have anything. I'm telling you, deep down inside, I was complaining the whole time about not having the normal things I'm used to having. Everything was hard. But what really got me, folks, was they were happier than I was. Contentment, true contentment, can I tell you this? It's striking. When you meet someone who has a contentment in and of themselves, not based upon their outward circumstances, it comes from within. It comes from within. God will give you the power. So here is the secret. The secret is that no matter what you face as a believer in Jesus Christ, within you, not based upon what you face on the outside in circumstances, but within you is the power to go through that situation with joy and contentment. You can make it through that situation and be contented. 2 Chronicles 16:9 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him." Now, sometimes the mess we're in is by our own choice. Amen? But when you turn your heart to the Lord, when your heart is perfect towards him, it doesn't mean perfection, it means turn to him. Your heart is turned to the Lord. The Lord says, "I will strongly support that person." So no matter where you are in your situation right now, if you turn your heart to the Lord, first of all, you must be a believer in Jesus Christ. You must have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you turn your heart to the Lord, say, "Lord, I'm all yours." The Lord will give you the strength within you to get through the circumstances that you face. It's not easy, but God will give you the strength. And Paul says this. He says, I've been abased and I've abounded. But I have been initiated into the secret of contentment. It's that in Christ he gives me the strength to go through the things that I face. In the Phillips translation, it says, "I'm ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me." The Living Bible says it this way: "I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power." Can I say this to you as a believer? Everything God wants you to do, you can do it because you have the strength and the power of Christ. But the question is, what is on the inside? What is it that are you contented on the inside? Is your heart turned to the Lord? Are you contented on the inside? Now, Coley, come here and help me. I have here a very refreshing glass of water. I needed that. Now, Coley, you know what circumstances do, folks? Circumstances shake us up, don't they? Tomorrow morning, something's going to hit one of you. I don't mean a car or anything. I didn't mean it that way, okay? No, I didn't mean it that way. Ellie, don't put that in your repertoire. That's a whole nother story, by the way. But anyway, Ellie collects my misstatements. She's got a whole group of them, and they're funny as you could imagine. But anyway, she does it in a sweet way. She's making me laugh all the time. But anyway, but seriously, tomorrow, you don't know. We don't know what tomorrow faces, do we? We don't know what we'll face tomorrow, do we? Seriously. We don't. But can I tell you something? All of life is with circumstances. Just hang with me, Coley. Coley's going, "Where is this going?" But anyway, all of life is full of circumstances. And circumstances, what was that statement? Circumstances are the arena of spiritual growth. Circumstances are the arenas. Folks, we can't get out of it. College students, you say, "Man, I want everything to go perfectly. I've got it all mopped up." Guess what? It ain't going to work that way. Couples, young couples with kids, well, you know. You know. But anyway, every age in this life, circumstances hit us that we're not expecting. So, this is you right here and me. So, Coley, I want circumstances to shake us up. Now, come over here. Don't get your sister wet. I want you to shake this arm right here a little bit. Okay. I said a little bit. No, Coley, come here. Now I want to ask you a question. This is a million-dollar question. Excuse me. I was just doing a little payback here. No, this is a million-dollar question. So I want to ask you a question. Why did water come out of that cup?
Because I shook your arm.
That's true. But I want to say this to you today. Water came out of this cup because water is what was in the cup. If contentment and joy is in you when you're shook up, guess what's going to come out? Contentment and joy. Thank you, Coley. Good job, Coley. Here, you can have some water. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're all going to be shaken. My question to you is, what's going to come out when you're shaken? Paul says, I've got a secret for you. I know this seems hard. I know this seems difficult. But he's saying, I've learned it. I've learned it by experience, and I've been initiated into it, that the only way I can be contented is with God's power. God's power within you. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe, I love that way he describes the word contentment. It means contained. Are you contained? Are you contained? Contentment is striking when you meet someone who's that way. So, ladies and gentlemen, my prayer for you is that you would learn contentment today. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.